Welcome to the Tribe of Testimonies. Here you will find conversations with faithful Native American members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, sharing their stories and their love of the Savior. My name's Andrea Hales. I'm Navajo, and I'm glad that you've decided to come and join us today. Today my guest is Jalen Geddes. I met her on social media through our mutual friend, Tacy. The funny thing is, and you'll hear this in the interview too, is I had heard Jalen give another podcast story. So you should look that up if you have the time, because it's really delightful. I think it's episode number 55 of This is the Gospel. I really like visiting with Jalen. She has so much compassion and love for people around her, and I think that shows in the way she has chosen to live her life, and I hope that we can all choose to live lives like that, that we're known as compassionate and that we're trying to do our best. So that's what I learned from Jalen, and I'm really grateful for her. And when she and I visited before the actual interview, we just laughed and giggled, and there's so many of you that I have interviewed and I hope to one day interview that I'd love to meet in person and just give you a hug and thank you. For sure, Jalen's one that I would love to give a hug and thank in person. I hope you enjoy this interview. Tonight, I am on the phone with my new friend, Jalen Geddes, and it's kind of funny because when I first started this podcast, I was told to listen to this great episode on This is the Gospel, another podcast, and I was like, I love that so much, my friend told me. And then, so a different friend told me to reach out to Jalen, so she introduced us via Facebook, and then I reached out to Jalen last week. Was it last week?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And anyway, so here we are now. Jalen, would you introduce yourself? You don't have to do it in your language if you don't, because not everybody speaks their language, but introduce yourself to us.
All right. Well, in my language, it would be Tante Nia Jalen. And I am I live in Portland, Oregon, but I'm originally from Verdes and Okamasis Cree Nation, and that is on Treaty 6 territory in Saskatchewan, Canada.
Oh, cool.
And I've lived in Oregon since 2011, and I mean, I foresee myself staying here for a while, because we are just so happy here.
Great. So, what is one of your favorite things about your heritage? It could be a story, a celebration, and just any kind of a tradition, a way of life, family history. What's one of your favorite things about your heritage, about who you are?
Oh, that is
especially if it relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That is such a good question. 'Cause there's so many things. I mean, I could go for hours talking about that. There's so many things and so many reasons why I love how I experience the world as an Indigenous person. And there's obviously a child with it, but I love the way that, like, I really do feel like my family history and the experiences that I've had give me a sense of empathy and a sensitivity to what others go through. And so I'm grateful for that. But not only that, like, I'm really grateful for a lot of the cultural principles and teachings that help me perceive the world, I think, in a way that is unique to us. And like, I often think about how, like, And I know every tribe is different, but I feel like that Indigenous peoples can often have, like, we have a really non-linear way of seeing things and approach to the world. And I think that non-linear way of seeing things has helped me understand the gospel, understand certain parts about the gospel that people with really linear thinking have a difficult time with. Like, for example, that my husband, we were talking once about like eternity being without beginning or end. And he says like, he's always heard that, but it never, and he doesn't think about it too much, but he says, if he thinks about it too much, he's like, how is this possible? Like, how can time and eternity be without beginning or end? Mm-hmm. But that just always makes sense to me. I can't even articulate why. It's almost like I can see it being true, but I can't, my mouth won't translate it. And I think a lot of that comes with the way that our teachings are, and with the way we experience the world, and we've had to kind of have a nonlinear approach to the world. And so that's something that I feel like also probably, I mean, I'm not a perfect person, and there are times like any normal human being, I might be insensitive, but I really do feel like those things help cultivate a sense of empathy in me that I'm still working to increase too as well. But yeah, this question is a good one. I could talk for days.
Cool. Thank you. So you just mentioned your husband is he a member of the church?
Yeah, he is. He's white. He is, yeah, like me, we've both been born and raised in the church. But yeah, we have an interracial marriage, and yeah, we love the experiences. We love sharing our experiences, and it helps us understand maybe other points of view. And yeah, we're a happy little family over here.
Yeah, that's awesome. You said you were raised in the church. Mm-hmm. You talk a little bit about it on that podcast that I mentioned. But mm-hmm. Did your parents, were they always raised in the church, or were they converts?
They're both converts. Actually, they both joined in the 70s. What happened was... to the best of my knowledge, this is the way it happened. My grandparents first came in contact with the missionaries, and they studied it out, and they joined. And my dad took a little longer. He studied out for a couple of years, and until he was sure that this was something that he believed in and wanted to devote his life to as a religion. And so he took a few years. And then within that time, he met my mom. And the way I understand it is she like just knew. She's like, oh, yeah, that's true. And then when my dad joined, she joined. And so, yeah, we had it was a blessing to that they raised us both in our culture and in our faith.
Cool. How many siblings did you grow up with?
I have four brothers and one sister. And millions, I feel like, of cousins.
Yeah.
And we all, like, that's all our family. Like we don't, in our language, we don't have a word for a cousin. It all translates to brother or sister. So our cousins are like our siblings. So yeah, I have four brothers, one sister, a million cousins, and it was happy times, it was good times.
I love that. That's so great.
Yeah.
So after you grew up, did you go to college?
I did. I moved to, like I mentioned, I'm from Saskatchewan. And then I moved to British Columbia, and I went to school for hospitality and tourism. And then for a number of years, I was in the travel industry, and I did travel consulting. And it was fine. Like, it was enjoyable. I didn't get a lot of satisfaction from it. And there's always this part of me, like, I just love learning, and I didn't feel satisfied. And so I went back to school, and for accounting. And then when I finished that, I had set out, I wanted to work at this organization called the Saskatoon Tribal Council. And that was like my dream job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole reason I went back to school, is like, I wanted to work there. And so once I finished school, I went back, I applied there, and I worked there for a number of years until I felt this urge again and this prompting to go back to school. And like I said, that whole time I study, whether it's studying like the gospel or studying something else, like I love to learn. And so I wanted to be study in a way that I was accountable to somebody, because that, like, for me, that challenge helps me learn even more.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go back to a school environment. And so I actually, my whole plan, because I had, like I had mentioned, I was a travel consultant for a few years, and I was able to travel a bit. And one of the places that I loved was New York City. And I just decided that I want to move there. I don't want to just visit there. I want to move there. And so I applied to school there for communications. Actually, it was for Jewish studies. No, it was for Jewish studies, because
Wait,
I love
what?
Yeah. So I wanted to, it was like a total, like, random, like, it's seemingly random path, but I love learning about other people. I love learning about other faiths. I love learning about, I just love it. And so I wanted to take Jewish studies, just because, like, it was just so, and I think it's really useful when you experience the world to learn about other ways and to learn about other people. And that was just something that I felt really, because there are a lot of similarities between a lot of Jewish beliefs and our own. And so I wanted to, like, study that a little more. Anyway, so that was my whole reason why, is I just wanted to learn something that wasn't necessarily something that was going to help me in a career, but I just wanted to do something to learn. And so that's what I chose. And so I got into the school that I wanted, and I had emailed through, there is this LDS, this LDS network where you could find roommates in New York City. And I found one and got everything set up. And I just applied. I had actually applied to a number of places just for backup, and Portland was one of them. And I got into both places, but I was like, I'm going to move to New York City. That was like my whole dream. And then I kept feeling this feeling like, Jalen, look closer at Oregon. I'm like, no, this isn't my dream. My dream was New York. I want to go and experience the bright lights of that place.
I'm not listening. La, 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 la.
That's exactly, that is exactly the way I felt. And then I looked at the program, and the program here, oh, another reason why is because the program here, they didn't have Jewish studies as a major. It was a minor. It was a communications program with Jewish studies as a minor. And
well, that sounds cool.
Yeah. And so I looked closer at it, and I got really excited about it. And so I just dropped everything and I moved here instead. And it ended up being really wonderful. I moved in with my cousin. And I started school here. And I wouldn't say that the program is what made, because I didn't even finish it. I only took it for a year before I decided to get back into, because it's expensive, and I was paying out of state tuition, so it was very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I put that on the back burner, and I decided to work again. And I ended up working for the National Indian Child Welfare Association. It was pretty much the same kind of work I did for the Saskatoon Tribal Council, except for like a national company.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved it. I still like the friendships I made at NICWA are like still friendships I have to this day. And so yeah, I worked there and ended up not going back to school, and just ended up working there for a few years, and then got pregnant with Desmond after a couple of years. And then I ended up just devoting my time to my kids. And I wanted to be like, I wanted to see them every day. I didn't want to be separated from him. So I decided to become a stay-at-home mom. But I took up beadwork, which is something that I did somewhat as a child. And then I got into it again because one of the best advice I ever got about motherhood was from my friend several years ago, my friend Brittany. She told me, like, when you become a mom, like, it's so important that you have a rich inner life because motherhood is just so relentless, and it takes every part of you, in a really good way, but in a really like exhausting, thankless kind of a way sometimes, because like, babies, they just need you all the time. And so that's when I kind of turned to back to beading. And it was like a really, it was a creative outlet that I had been missing. And so that kind of took off. And now I run my own website and I sell my pieces when I have them, and it does really well. And I'm really like so surprised and so humbled by the reception that like people have given to my work, because like my heart and my soul go into my designs and they go into my work. And I can't bead unless I'm in the right like mental frame of mind to give it good medicine. And there's a saying that beading is medicine, and I only bead if I'm able to give that good medicine to what I do and offer it, so that, because I know these pieces are going to go in people's homes, and so I want to make sure that they have that good spirit in my work and that it can be part of their lives too. And yeah, so I do that. I'm a mama and I'm a beater.
That's so awesome. I love how you talked about the creativity of your work. We've had artists on here before. We've had fine art painters, and we've had jewelers, silversmiths, and they've talked similarly as well, that it's medicine to both you, the creator, and to those it ends up with. So yeah, I love that. Thank you. And you've had such an interesting life. Something when you said that you studied Jewish, or you wanted to study the Jewish program, I've always thought that not just how many things we have in common with them, with the way that we worship and things like that, but also we have in some ways quite a bit of a parallel history. And I don't know if you've thought about it like that before, but the genocide and the
Oh yeah, with Indigenous peoples,
yeah.
yeah, for sure.
So
Yeah, it's and I find that that when and like I had mentioned, it's the empathy component, and I think that's what like I love learning about like their customs and their practices and whatnot, just because I think it's beautiful. Like I love learning about that kind of stuff, but I think that with our history as Indigenous peoples, like it opens us up to having more empathy when somebody's walked has sorrow in their history and has like the kind of sorrow that can't even be explained or even comprehended fully, because even like as we talk about really painful aspects of history, I of my own history, it's hard for even me to comprehend because it's a reality and you just have to muscle through it. And I think sometimes we don't let ourselves sit with the devastation of it enough. And so yeah, sometimes I think that we can kind of gloss over how excruciating certain things are, when I think if we let ourselves sit with how excruciating things are, we get to know the Savior more. Because in Gethsemane, it wasn't like he didn't gloss over anything. He let himself feel every single thing, every moment of pain that we had. And so I try to remember that and use that when someone is speaking of pain, that I, as an Indigenous person, I should have sympathy and understanding for. But yeah, so that was there were a lot of reasons why I felt drawn to it, and it didn't even end up really going anyplace. But and sometimes I wonder if like Heavenly Father prompted me a certain way just to get me down here, because I met my husband here. Mm-hmm. and those, obviously those feelings and that I have, there's still a lot of love in my heart for what brought me here. But I often wonder if the whole reason that he compelled me a certain way, or he prompted me a certain way and I felt compelled, is because my life was here, because it unfolded in a way like I had never planned on, not never planned, but like I know Heavenly Father has his plans, and sometimes our desires and his ability to know what's best for us don't always align, and that's always a humbling experience to say okay, Heavenly Father, your will, not mine. Mm-hmm. And so I've always, and I was 31 when I got married, and so I was totally prepared to, I hadn't planned like getting married in a family, because I didn't want to put too much hope in something that might not happen. And it's, you, if somebody's unmarried and without kids, their lives are still full and their lives are still every bit as valuable and worthy as, you know, somebody who isn't with a family, sorry. And so I just kind of never really thought about it as much as, like, I did, obviously, but I tried to develop and cultivate other parts of myself so that I could always feel happy with the way my life turned out, even if it wasn't exactly what I had initially expected. But yeah, anyway, so I did. I ended up moving down here. I got married. I have two kids, and it's a whole new adventure, and I'm just grateful to be on this adventure.
Yeah. Yeah, I was 29 when I got married, so Yep, I get it. And I did a lot of things before I got married, too. I mean, yeah, I came into the marriage as a career woman and not a housewife. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
There was a learning curve for me to being like a, having a lot of my my life be around the home. There's a huge learning curve to that. And it's definitely, I'm not going to minimize, I don't want to minimize anything that I've accomplished or done in my life before this, but because I was used to certain things, this whole motherhood, that like, I'm still adjusting.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. Yeah. So, you bead because it's a creative outlet for you, and it's a medicine, and it's a way to bring you joy. What other things bring you joy? How do you make sure that you have that yourself in your own life?
Oh, there's like so many things that give me joy. And I feel like I'm something that I love about the gospel is it helps me to cultivate this perspective of always having abundance, even if, like, no matter our circumstance, and not to minimize what if somebody's circumstances are dire, and that's very real, but I feel like having the perspective of the gospel has, like, and the more I lean into that and lean into the gospel, like, I see so many ways to be happy just everywhere. And like, I'm not going to pretend that life is perfect, because it's not. And like, things get me down, and it's really upsetting sometimes when I see certain things in the world, and that can really, that can really like bring me down, and can bring anybody down. But, I'm always just kind of like alarmed at how Heavenly Father just loves us, Like, for example, like just sitting and playing with my kids and hearing them laugh, like it's just killer. I just love hearing my kids laugh, and that's something that brings me like so much joy. It's just being surrounded by them and hearing them laugh and making them laugh and then making me laugh, and then teaching them the gospel and seeing them apply those things in little ways in their lives is just, that brings me so much joy. And like learning anything, like I'm always studying. I'm studying the gospel. I'm studying how what other people have experiences, what like my own community has experienced, what communities that are tangential to ours, what they've experienced. Like, even in that heaviness, it brings me this peace, because I know that Heavenly Father wants us to be our brother's keeper and to know them and to love each other in one another's language. Like, I know that there's this, there can be this resistance that we might have to, like, oh no, I love you in this way. Like, don't you feel my love? And if someone says, no, I don't, then we have to listen to that. And like, I get so much peace in trying to learn the love language of other people. And even if it's hard, like, I get so much peace from trying to see Christ in other people and see our Creator in other people, and loving them as best as I can. And I fail. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I do a good job because I'm imperfect. But there's so much peace in that, and a lot of that peace comes from studying and comes from trying to like help gently guide my children in that way. And spending time with, also another thing that makes me happy is like spending time with my husband and just playing board games and being silly. All of these things together bring me peace.
Nice. I love that. Do you have a calling in church right now?
No, we moved during the pandemic.
What?
Yeah. And like we were living in Southwest Portland, and now we live in Hillsborough. And so it's not too far away. It's like 20, 30 minutes away on the other side of town. But we're in a new ward, and haven't gotten a calling yet. But I hope no one in my ward listens to this.
Stop.
But
you mean I hope everyone in my ward listens to this, because it's the best podcast out there right now.
Right. Yes. Yes. That I hope they do. But I hope they gloss over the part that says I don't have a calling. I just realized how that sounded. But yeah, I don't have a calling, and nobody tell my bishop or anything. But I do go to nursery with my daughter every Sunday, because she's attached to mommy and daddy. So that's my calling. It's my self-appointed calling. It's her little buddy in nursery.
That's fun. That's so fun. Have you met any good neighbors, any friends in your area?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm very bad with names, but we've met a few people in our ward, and we live like in close proximity to so many more members than we did in our old area, like just like within walking distance. So that's fun. And so we've gotten to know people that way. And yeah, our ward seems really good. And my husband, he's got a calling, so he didn't fly under the radar yet. I'm still trying to. Okay, just watch. Heavenly Father's going to humble me and give me a calling and said, you shouldn't have said anything.
I love serving in the church, though. I find so much joy in that.
And
not every call. I haven't loved every calling that I've ever had. There's been some that I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, some are more challenging than others. You know, I always think that I'm I'm an introvert, and my husband laughs because he's like, you are so social. Like, why do you think you're an introvert? And I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I'm a nervous person. But I was called, in my old ward, I was the librarian.
Oh, fun.
And I really love it because it's like a pretty, like it's an easy calling, but also people always come in and talk to you. Mm-hmm. And I just loved chatting with everybody who came in. And that's why my husband laughs at me when I say that I'm like shy. And because I really am, like, in my heart, I'm very shy. But he's like, no, you're not. You talk to everybody, which is true. But yeah, my heart is shy, but my mouth isn't, I guess.
That's funny.
But that was my favorite calling. I loved talking to people, and just, yeah, that was the best.
I love that calling. I haven't had that calling yet. Someday maybe. Yeah.
Oh, it's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah. Let's see. What hard things have you gotten through, and how have you gotten through them?
You know, like most people, like I've had like big trials and little ones, and some of the little ones I think I made harder than they needed to be. And some of the big ones were really big. But I always remember my mom, like she gave me a gift, and I don't even think that she understood what she was giving me when this little interaction happened. But I was in... It was my first day of school. Like I mentioned, I have a big family, and my siblings, when I tell you that I love my siblings, like I love them. I love them. I just love them so much. And like, they're still to this day, they're still like just everything to me. And so it was my first day of school, and I was so terrified of being without them, and I didn't want to go. I didn't want to like have to be in a classroom or a room without them. And while I was getting ready for my first day of school, my mom like said, "What's the matter, my girl?" And she got down on her knee and like looked me in the eye, and I told her, "I'm really scared. Like, I won't be without like my brothers or my sister. What if I don't have any friends?" And she said, "Oh, my girl, you'll have a friend there. You'll have a brother with you." And I was like so shocked. I'm like, what? I thought like maybe one of my brothers like was getting special permission to come with me. And she said, "Jesus will be there, and he's your brother, and he's the brother that you can carry with you everywhere." And that has been like one of my anchor memories. And that really, I think, I was just like maybe five, but that was the start of this really personal relationship I had with the Savior. And whatever happened in my life, I just remember my mom saying like, "This, your brother is with you, the Savior's with you." And that got me through a lot of things. Like it got me through like the fear of when my family as a teenager moved away from the res and moved into the city for the first time. It got me through moving to the US, like all of these things, like remembering that word, that little moment that my mom shared with me when I was scared to start my first day of school, that the Savior's with me. And that seems like such like a simple thing, but that's when it's by small and simple things that great things come to pass. And if there's anything, and I know like my life is just regular. I'm just a regular person, and I've just done regular things, but I made it through the hard things because of that simple thing, that simple interaction with my mom that started my testimony. And I've never forgotten it. And when times get tough, even in my motherhood and in anything, that is what gets me through it. And that's what I always go back to.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I think I was, in first grade when I had my first prayer answered that obviously that I can still remember now. And I've known ever since then, like without a doubt, Heavenly Father is listening to my prayers. So I love that you shared that it was when you were just young when that happened and it's shaped your life. Because I think that my answered prayer has shaped my life somewhat too.
And it's like a really nice like reminder of why when we're told to be like little children, like that's why. It's like, it's just this simple testimony, and it might be simple, but it gets you through the complicated. Yeah. So that I'm always grateful to my mom for that gift that she gave me.
That's awesome. How hard was it for your family to move away from the res?
I'm not too sure. Cause I don't know if it was hard, necessarily, or I don't know what other people were thinking or feeling. But it's just like, like for me, it was just, there's just like comfort when you go back. It's just like, oh, it's just your most comfortable place, you know, when you're in your community. Because there's certain things you won't face there. You won't like, not to say like, you know, there's trials everywhere, but like there are certain things that I won't face, as much on the res. Like I will be with people who understand me and understand my experiences and who will have more like who I trust to have a more immediate empathy, for my experiences. And so, I would imagine that most of my family members had that adjustment of leaving that real, like, safe place of comfort and, like, not knowing what people, because there's a lot of racism back home. Like, there just is, and there's a lot of racism in the world, but, like, our area of Canada is, like, a particularly rough one, it's rough to feel that, is what I mean. And it's pretty obvious sometimes. And so when we would experience those things, off the res, like it's less comfortable. I don't think it's comfortable anywhere. Even if you get to go back and be with your people, mm-hmm. It's not comfortable anywhere, but, yeah, there's always like, it's hard leaving that wonderful comfort, I guess.
Who in your life has been a real, besides your mom and dad and your siblings, who has been a real influence in your life?
Oh, wow. Does it have to be somebody I've met?
No, actually, no.
Let's see. Let me think. There's like so many. There's so many people like in my life and people who I have met and who I haven't. But, you know, honestly, now that I'm like a grown woman, honestly, the person who has had the most impact and most influence is my husband. And that's why I think we're such like a good match. And because he is so different from me. Like, we are so different. He's this big, boisterous, musical person who loves to perform. And I'm not at all. I don't like the limelight. I like to cheer him on when he performs. And that is where my comfort zone is. But yeah, and he is so, like, I can't even explain, like, how people, oh, I just wish everybody could know my husband. Like, my husband's just amazing. He's so funny and unexpected, and I'm gonna cry. He lets people be who they are, and I think it's sometimes hard for us as like human beings to just let people be who they are, but he just does, and he lets me be who I am, and he supports me, and I feel like this, the unconditional just love and safety that I feel from him, like, inspires me to hopefully offer that to more people too. And yeah, I think he would surprise people, and he would surprise people, because I know a friend of mine, because like I had mentioned, he's very gregarious and loud and likes to perform, but at church he's very reserved and reverent. And so, and a friend of ours from, and he was the organist in our old ward, and so all she knew of him was that he was very reverent and he played the organ, and it was just, and then she saw him performing like actual music, like boisterous music outside of it, and he's totally like a crazy person on stage. She was like, who is this guy?
Oh my goodness.
My husband is like, I just love him. I'm grateful for him. And he's definitely the biggest influence of my life. And he sees things in a really uncomplicated way. And because I like to study. So I like to study nuances of things. I like to study the complexities of things. And it helps my testimony. But when things get overwhelming, he brings me back into the simplicity. And that's why I think like we're a really good match for one another, because I think he brings me into the simplicity, but I also bring him into the nuance and into the complexity. And so I think we temper each other in different ways. And I know, I 100% know that I wouldn't have got back into beating without his like support. Like there's so many things in my life that I can attribute to my partnership with him. And yeah, so 100% the answer to that question is my husband.
Well, he sounds awesome.
He is.
I'm glad that you have him then.
Oh, thank you. Me too. Every day I say a prayer of gratitude for him and for our little family.
That's so great. How do you do Come Follow Me with your family, as young as your children are right now?
So we do it very simply. Like we will read a few. So I study things and I listen to podcasts and whatnot. And so with our kids, we would just like have a very simple lesson, and then we'll read a scripture, and then we'll ask, my son is 5, so he's the one we'd ask, and we let our 1-year-old run around just like a maniac. But we'll ask him in really simple ways, and then that's how we'll study. We'll study like 1 or 2 scriptures with him and ask various very simple questions with him. But with me and my husband, the way we study is we will study individually. So that's what we do with our kids. But me and my husband, like the example that I have for my parents is they read their scriptures together every night, and they have scripture study together every night. And for our schedules and for, you know, how worn out parenting makes us, like that isn't for at least for us right now. Maybe we're just not prioritizing, but for us, it's not as realistic for us at this stage. So we do our individual scripture study. And then every Sunday, me and my husband will get together for maybe an hour, and we'll talk about what we've learned and lessons and little promptings or what stood out to us. And then it's like always so interesting to hear what stood out to him and vice versa, what stood out to me. And so we do a family one, and then we do a one with just me and my husband.
That sounds very nice. Is there anything in particular that you've learned this year or last year that has just stayed with you from the Come Follow Me program?
It's not necessarily anything that one thing I've learned or stood out. It's more as we make space for the study, that's kind of what changes everything. It's just simply the making space for it. And as you make space for it and prioritize it, that is what changes. And like, everything the most, right? It's like, and it's like anything in the gospel. Like, you have to experience it and put it into practice yourself before you gain a testimony of it. And so that's kind of how it's been with Come Follow Me. Like, the more that we make space for it, the better we are.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Thank you. I have one final question for you, unless there's something else you want to talk about.
No.
Okay.
I talked too much already.
I have one final question for you. What does it mean to you to know that you belong to the tribe of Israel?
You know, I was thinking about that, and I just think about, like, how Heavenly Father takes care of all of us, and, like, we're all connected somehow. And even for those who aren't, like, through their lineage, everybody's adopted anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's just like this feeling of family. Like, I just, like, the first thing I think about is, like, families are forever, and Heavenly Father's promises are forever, and we can trust that. We can trust Him, and He's gonna do, like, wonderful things with with us as a people, but also with us as individuals. And my dad always would talk about, like, that scripture, to blossom as a rose. And he said once, you know, there are many different roses, and they blossom in many different ways. And I think that's so beautiful and so exciting that that Heavenly Father wants that for us. And He wants our individual gifts, and He wants our collective gifts as well. And it's just, it's exciting.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been so great. Thank you for all of your thoughtfulness.
Oh, thank you. It's been really nice to get to know you, and I'm so glad that we were able to connect this way.
I was a little bit under the weather this weekend. I stayed home from church yesterday just because, you know, the whole thing, staying home and being respectful of that. But I missed my ward. I missed my ward so much. I did get to watch a sacrament meeting, well, the testimony part of sacrament meeting. And I just felt the Spirit so much. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for those who are willing to share their testimony. My son got up and bore his testimony, and it was one of those proud mom moments, because he was like, I love that my mom and dad give the best home church. And I was like, aw, that's Mark. Mark gives the best home church. But I just can't help think how much we need each other. We need our neighbors. We need our ward members. I think a lot can get done when we have respectful and true relationships with each other. We don't have to be best friends, but if we can respect each other and show compassion and all the things, this world would be such a different place. So that's what I hope to leave with you today. I'm grateful for all the people in my life. Every night I feel just so full of gratitude to Heavenly Father for all the people in my life, family and friends and neighbors and all the everybody's. And you are included in that. So I want you to know that. I hope you have a super wonderful, awesome day.
Tribe of Testimonies is not affiliated with The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The music is a traditional hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, arranged and performed by Kyle Forsyth. If you know someone who might be interested in being a guest, please reach out to me at tribeoftestimonies@gmail.com.